guys. Yeah, coming up first in the stage in this half, an integral part of the One Shot and Campaign Empire, Ms. Cat Cool! And this is one empire, by the way, that we do not hate.
Yeah, one of the few. Hey, heroes. There's this thing in tabletop character generation that I completely despise. In an attempt to get people to play characters with complex backstories, different systems require you to choose a number of things that they'll call either backgrounds or hooks that amount to more or less the following. A concept. Storyteller. A minor mechanical bonus. +2 to situational knowledge checks. An unimaginative write-up meant to spark your imagination. In your youth, you traveled a lot. You have seen many lands, and you have stories to tell from each of them. This latter write-up is the thing that kills me. I feel like they tend to fall flat as tools that aid imaginative discovery. Like, let's dig in on Storyteller. You traveled a lot in your youth. You have seen many lands, and you have stories to tell from each of them. Well, many people travel, and storytelling isn't always the end result. No. If you're someone who tells stories, you do that regardless of the amount you've traveled. There's nothing inherent to experience acquisition that makes people more likely to moralize and gussy up aspects of their life into audible entertainment. You don't tell stories because you know things. Then why do you? Why is this a defining, important element to your character? This doesn't even ask the question. That's what's lacking to me about these background write-ups. They don't tell you anything about why your character behaves the way he or she does. If anything, they restrict the narrative, limiting people's ideas of storytellers to worldly folks who won't shut up about meals they once had in a variation of the same Too Precious Cafe. And that is boring to me. I'm a professional storyteller. It's kind of weird to say because what I actually mostly do is GM a Star Wars tabletop game for a few of my sillier friends. We record it, people listen, and somehow it's become a job. But I think I'd have wound up professionally telling stories in one way or another anyway. And here is why. I was 12 when I first found out about Victorian Midsummer celebrations. I read about them in an etiquette book at my grandmother's and was instantly enchanted. Basically, if you were a kid growing up in England in the 1800s, on June 21st, you probably baked a cake and left it out for the fair folk. The veil between worlds is thin during the summer solstice, and fae require a tithing to keep them from stealing babies. If you give them a present, though, they will not just not steal your baby, but they will honor you with a boon. So bake and leave a cake out overnight and get a small present from a fairy in the morning. That's not an uncommon holiday setup, but it has the word fairy attached, so 12-year-old me was instantly obsessed with sparking the tradition in my own household. I got a copy of Midsummer Night's Dream from my local library and memorized and performed chunks of it solo on repeat. I made lists of food ingredients that the cryptids and spookums native to Bel Air, Maryland would particularly enjoy. And I generally whipped my 6-year-old younger brother Danny into a frenzy about the possibility of receiving an actually magical boon. Now, that's obnoxious, excitable, typical kid stuff. Not that different from my usual buffoonery. Especially because this was a holiday in the Murphy household. My mom loves holidays. She has decorations for even the dumbest of them. And I don't want to get too into this, but like, during Christmas, we had 15-foot trees. Holidays were an excuse to let magic into our home. So, I don't think my mom's calm but insistent, fairies aren't real, registered at first. It just didn't make sense. Anytime I'd start in on the holiday explaining the difference between leprechauns and claricons to Danny, subtle hints at what a boon might entail, anything, she'd calmly reiterate, fairies aren't real. The night of, Danny and I made our cake. We put it out by the old willow tree in the mesh cloche we decorated for the occasion. We watched Fern Gully, and then I tucked him in. Fairies aren't real. I set an alarm for 5 a.m. If I were to write a blurb for the storyteller background, it would read as follows. Storyteller, +2 to situational knowledge checks. In your youth, on a humid June morning, you snuck past your sleeping little brother's room out to the old willow tree. You cried because magic wasn't real for you anymore. Not like magic, magic. Because you didn't believe in fairies, but the magic that exists year in and year out when a tiny, beautiful woman with a penchant for Christmas lights sneaks treats and baubles into your life under the guise of some anthropomorphic personification in order to show you that she loves you and that some ideas are worth upholding even when you know that they are lies. And then after a while, you stop crying. You take the cloche off the cake and made the thing look eaten. You found a rock with a hole inside and a few crow feathers, and you pulled the ribbon off of the cloche and smoothed it out and folded it up and put the gifts on top of it next to the cake. And then you snuck back past Danny's room, cleaned yourself up, and got back into bed. When he woke up, you went out with him to the old willow tree and pretended to be excited. His eyes lit up with Christmas lights because magic was real. And you were suddenly shocked to find that it was again for you too. That the experience works from either side of the fence, and if you lie well enough, you get to watch people's eyes lit up with Christmas lights. Light up with Christmas lights. This is a podcast. You get to make magic. And you never stop. Thank you.
Fantastic kickoff.